The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Act 2. Authority. Chapter 13. The World of Calamity.
2219. Common Earth Era. Seaport District. New York Metropolitan Administration Sector.
Jane Crocker sat in her desk chair and tried to ignore the feeling of the sweat dripping down her back. The climate control was broken again. Had been for the last week, and the smell of the brackish water that filled up behind the seawalls and sluiced over into the Seaport District streets was starting to permeate the plasticrete walls of the office. With the temperature climbing up over 30 degrees centigrade and the humidity rising into the mid-double digits, the whole place was starting to feel uncomfortably like a swamp. It was something of a misnomer to call the place the Seaport District, a relic of the 2100s when the docks had still been operational. But the last surge had made it cheaper and easier to take the freight into Jersey and unload directly there, so the Seaport District went from being a prime section of real estate for the commercially minded to a dripping slum, hot and humid in the summer and prone to freezing in the winters. Worst of both worlds. But the rent was cheap and business had been slow lately. Demand for private investigators waxed and waned with 1,000 different factors. And she was always in direct competition with the corporate loss prevention folks and the NY Metro Police and their detective division, who were also, in an ironic twist of fate and career alignment, often for sale. But LP were mostly confined to their corporate squabbles, and Metpol didn't really like to venture into the pockets of outside that dotted the city, nor did they especially care about wading around in the urban swamps south of the division line. So business was never bad exactly, just slow sometimes. Truth of the matter was, she had a few cases on her docket already. A quick scroll through the view screen showed her what was still outstanding. Couple of jilted spouse needs photo evidence for the auto courts cases mostly. Those were never fun to do, always left her feeling a little bit sour on the inside, like no one was ever really coming out ahead. Even the money she earned from the job never really made that feeling go away. Bunch of bull crap is what it is. She flicked the caseload off to the side of the screen with her hand, flashing over to the newsfeed. Nothing notable there. Summer festivities happening in Central Park Village for the rich and their chosen low-class pets who won the entry lottery. Corporate LP got into a gunfight with some other corporate LP. Speculation about the latest patches of outside popping up in the old Bowery. Bad news on top of bad news, nothing more. Usually good for business, but not always. A small notification in the corner of the computer's screen. Incoming message. Jane flicked her hand up and the screen filled with the grinning face of Roxy Lalonde. Rox, what's going on? Now's not—
No, girl. You're going to tell me it's not a good time. No time like the present. Besides, you're going to want to hear this.
Jane sighed. I don't know. I've got cases to go through.
What, those cheating husband bullshit jobs?
Some of them are cheating wives. Why was she being defensive about this? She hated those cases. Roxy rolled their eyes and clicked their tongue. Their fingers hovered by their own screen.
I saw something you're going to want to take a look at.
No. I don't want to do another LP job for some corpo that doesn't want to do his own homework. That sucked. She could still smell the garbage in her nostrils. Things are slow right now, not dead.
That was one time.
Roxy waved their hands, but it looked like they were smiling.
But no, I promise this isn't some LP job.
I'm not doing Metpol's dirty work either. I'm not in the mood right now. I left for a reason. A long pause, and Roxy pursed their lips at the camera, transferred into the most striking color a 10-year-old vidscreen could manage.
Not them either, I don't think.
Jane sat up in her chair. She was at least a little bit intrigued now. Maybe it was the humid swamp air making her lightheaded, and maybe it was the fact that she was eating Instapak noodles for the past week, but... Okay, fine, I'll bite. What's the catch here?
Well, for one thing, it's an eyes-only job, if you'll believe that.
The type of job that couldn't be transferred over the white net, that raised all kinds of red flags. So how do you have it? So many red flags.
Nope, you gotta take a girl to dinner for that kind of thing.
Jane rolled her eyes. As you're so fond of saying, you're not a girl.
I'm like girl adjacent, girl light, girlish.
They closed their eyes and adopted a sage expression.
A girl when dinner's on the line.
Roxy, I'm broke, you know this.
Oh, come on, you won't be broke after this.
They flicked a finger and a small text notification appeared on screen with a credit amount listed. Jane's eyes went wide. For real? What's this job? You gotta tell me something.
Nope. Eyes only, baby. And I ain't gonna get some LP Caser on my sexy ass because I blabbed. I know you're a little flat right now. We'll call it a split and meet at that little no-so place, you know. The one that serves that good-ass chicken.
Jane made a mental inventory of her finances. The amount she still had sitting in the account from the last cuckold's job. And she still had a little bit of a reserve from the Metpol Detective's reserve fund that she'd got on her way out. Enough for a rainy day, and maybe it had been looking a little bit like rain lately. Metaphorically speaking. Fine. I'll take a few bucks out and treat you. This better be worth it. On the other side of the screen, Roxy winked at the camera and stuck up their hand and a thumbs up.
I wouldn't lie to you, Janie. DM you the meat, KK. Bye!
The screen blinked out, replaced with the uninspired corporate clean UI of the messaging app. Jane stood up and walked over to the window looking out. Hot and humid. She'd dressed down as much as possible, a loose button-up shirt that would conceal the compact CDP-10 pistol she typically carried. Better safe than sorry. And she had some lightweight pants that would be comfortable enough. It all looked presentable together, not that it actually mattered, being that this was strictly a business thing. Yeah, Jane muttered to herself. As she walked out the door that had Jane Crocker, Registered Private Detective, block printed on it. No-so, as a region of the city, was incredibly vague. The term came from the whole region that was north of the area just south of the divide, and that left a lot of ambiguity as to exactly where things started and ended. References to street names that went back 300 years weren't uncommon, and there were heated debates on wide-net forums about whether or not such-and-such a place was a real no-so. It had over the years become something of a beacon for fashion and cuisine, so these debates took on a uniquely acrid kind of fervor. She was at best an outsider in the no-so scene, at worst an active trader given her background. She tended to keep quiet and keep her head down. The no-so crew had a reputation of being a bunch of whiny, highbrow tourist kids slumming it where it was still safely close to their parents' money, but Jane's experience was that those same kids had a bit of bite to them when they got cornered, angry, or high enough. The restaurant that Roxy had mentioned was a familiar place, a joint called Danny's Hot Chicken Adventure that served mostly synth chicken, trade name CHIK'N. It was a lot easier to get a hold of than synth beef, trade name B.E. Macron F, PACGR patent pending, and therefore a lot cheaper. Of course, cheap was a relative term, but the number that Roxy had flashed made Jane's mouth water. Shit, she'd be able to afford some real meat if she got a payout like that. Jane arrived at the restaurant before Roxy. The place was still as much of a shithole as she remembered. Same broken piece off the order counter that meant you had to watch your food didn't slide down onto the ground when the cook tossed it up there. One chicken sandwich, extra hot sauce, one chicken deluxe, hold the veggie slaw. Ordered from memory. How many times had she and Roxy been here before everything went sour? And there was a bitter kind of comfort to that question, a certainty that things would be consistent. Even if they were only consistent in being shit forever. She stood by the counter and waited for the food to be warmed up. It was cooked fresh, at least. Grilled over some contraption that looked like it had been pulled from a Verticar's thrust modulator. Probably wasn't the most healthy way of cooking food, but that was a concern for the folks in Central Park Village or out in the island. Healthy was a luxury. This was some premium-tasting protein, and it only cost a little bit more than the soy stuff. The food was done around the same time that Roxy showed up, wearing the most eye-watering pink pants and a crop top that left very little of their upper torso to the imagination.
Hey, JD, you still remember my order?
They took the sandwich with a nod and went to go find some place to sit down.
Well, we were dating for 2 years.
No, this wasn't the time for that. Sure, Roxy, you know how I am.
Never forget. Like the ancient story about the elephants.
A seat was selected, far away from the rest of the restaurant's crowd, and they sat down.
You ever wonder what they were like?
What, elephants? Jane shrugged and took a bite of her chicken. You could really taste the hydro burn on it. I mean, we've got the archive exhibit at the Pan American Natural History Museum. That thing they're doing for the 350th anniversary or whatever.
No, man. I don't mean the archives.
Roxy took a large bite of the sandwich, smearing sauce all over their face in the process. They chewed happily before continuing.
I mean, like, what would they like to see in person? In the wild, or even in a zoo or something?
Well, about 120 years too late on that one, I guess. Another bite of her food. It wasn't actually that bad when all you'd eaten lately was instant packs. No more elephants, and I want to know what this job is.
God. Always so business with you. No wonder we broke up.
Jane felt her face flush at that. Not because it hit close to home, but because it was untrue in a very specific way, intended to save Jane's feelings. In a way that hurt even more. Finally, Roxy grinned and waved their free hand dismissively.
I don't hold it against you, we're cool after all.
Right, so I's only job that doesn't originate from Metpol, and it's not an LP job. That's weird to begin with. Who's the sponsor? Roxy leaned close. Their face was still covered with hot sauce, which took some of the gravity of their expression away, but the words still left Jane feeling a little bit cold, despite the heat.
It's an authority job.
Bullshit, those are a myth. The whole idea was ridiculous. Stories about jobs sanctioned by the government, but in the shadiest, most mysterious ways possible. About working for a client who was only the face for something larger and more powerful.
That's real. I checked the job sig, it's indecipherable.
They leaned back and took a large bite from the sandwich, chewing as they thought this over.
Which should invalidate the whole contract, but somehow it's fine.
Weird. The kind of weird you find on the outside.
Another quick chill. That was the other piece of the myth. The job was somehow connected to those strange pockets of unreality that had been an everyday feature of life for the last 200 or so years. Places where the normal rules didn't apply anymore, and anyone with 2 ounces of sense to their name wouldn't be caught dead dealing with it. And there was a whole industry dedicated to tracking the little pocket realities as they moved and shifted around the Pan-American corporate governance region. For some reason, the New York Metro was worse than other places.
Roxy, this makes me think you're into The Shine again.
That one brought a look of genuine hurt to Roxy's eyes, and Jane immediately felt bad about it. She wasn't sure if she had wanted to hurt Roxy's feelings in the moment, but she sure didn't now.
I'm sorry, that was mean.
Shaney, you know I've been clear for 6 months now. That fucking hurts, man.
I know, I'm sorry. Look, can you just tell me what this mysterious job is before I jam my foot anymore in my mouth? That brought a smile to Roxy's face at least, but it was the kind of smile that had been there a lot near the end. Right after everything fell apart, it still didn't feel any better to see it. The smile was gone quick though, and Roxy put down their sandwich and took their phone out of their pocket.
You still got a cryptlock device, right?
Jane nodded. She could carry one as part of the deal of being a registered private detective. Out of her own pocket, she pulled out her own phone and slid it across the table. With a short nod, Roxy tapped a sequence into their phone and tapped it up against Jane's device. Another moment, and there was a small chime to let everyone know that things had shifted. Jane was bearing the burden now.
Deets are all on there, Janie.
Another one of those two sad smiles.
Hope it helps you. Get where you need to go.
Before they could pull back and pocket their phone, Jane reached out and placed her own hand gently on Roxy's.
Wait.
A quick flash of something in Roxy's eyes, a little blush on the cheeks.
How do you have this job? You said you'd tell me.
The blush vanished and Roxy sighed.
Figured you'd ask. Was hoping you wouldn't, TBH.
Why? A long sigh from Roxy. Jane could feel their hand go slack.
Cause it sounds shady as shit.
The original got slipped under my door and there was a note saying to get it to you. I couldn't help looking at the job first. Jane was about to ask why, but she already knew the answer. Roxy had always tried to use their unique skill set to keep Jane safe in their own way. Guess even a messy breakup hadn't changed that. Any clues? You still have the note? Jane saw Roxy shake their head. She'd figured as much, but it never hurt to ask. Well, I suppose I should take a look. But Roxy turned their hand over and grabbed Jane's. There was a look in their eyes that Jane didn't much care for. Not here, Janie. Take it back to your place, okay? Jane frowned, but she didn't move to resist. Sure, Roxy. I'll take a look. You planning to tell me what the heck's going on here? They shook their head firmly and let go of Jane's hand.
I want you to be really careful on this one. Funding bonds as real as it gets. All those zeros.
But there was going to be some kind of hook. There was always some kind of hook. The chicken wasn't exactly sitting well in her stomach by the time Jane got back to her office in the Seaport District. That bad combination of nerves, guilt, and heat all boiling together to make her feel like she needed to vomit. So first thing she did when she got inside was stumble over to the small bathroom and hurl in the toilet, letting all of the amassed food and bad feelings spew out all over the hard shell-formed plastic of the toilet. It had been a while since she'd had to deal with this. Had pretty much stopped when she and Roxy had called it quits. Second thing she did was walk over to her desk and pull out the bottle of cheap shine she'd been saving for a special occasion. Or an especially bad day. She wasn't sure if this counted as either yet, but she also didn't want to be all the way sober for whatever was in this job description. Jane didn't even bother pouring a glass. She lifted the bottle to her lips and took a quick swig of the shine. It tasted like what she imagined industrial cleaner would. A thick alcohol burn and basically no secondary flavor. Seaport's finest backroom distilleries worked hard to produce that quality product. Well, if the job panned out, she could get drunk on top quality upper city booze. Something with a real vintage to it, maybe. Pre-calamity whiskey. That was a funny thought. Jane touched her phone to her personal terminal and waited a second for the secure connection to establish itself. Once the two devices were paired, she saw the job description pop onto the screen. Seemed simple enough. Missing persons case, two sets of siblings that vanished, the usual blurry, terrible quality photographs attached. Folks in their mid-20s, it seemed, the kind of people that frequently went missing in this city. Weird that anyone would put such a large price on this and tag it eyes only, but maybe they were some rich person's kids. Couple of different locations to check out. Something about that, though. Jane flicked the terminal over to another screen and entered the coordinates. So that was why this job was so unique. At least part of the puzzle, if not the whole of it. A necessary piece, in any case, to understanding what this thing was. Their last known location was dead center in the middle of the largest patch of outside that Jane had ever seen.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.